The best seats in a stadium, we've been doing this run thing, in a stadium, where do you reckon the best seats are? Don't answer that, I'll tell you. The best seats are on the finish line. Because on the finish line, you could be up in the bleachers over there, but on the finish line is where you get to see this kind of thing. It's sitting on the finish line where you get to see these athletes have run around and around and around, and the further the better. There's nothing like an electrifying finish to a race. You know, when the commentator on television goes off their brain and no longer seems to be pronouncing syllables that the human race recognise, and the athletes are coming to the end like this, and they are extending every part of their physicality towards winning the race. Their faces, you've seen the slow-mo, they're like, they're trying to get to the for the win, and their bodies, you can see like up here, they're extended out because just that fingertip, just that extended limb, just that little bit extra could be the very difference between being a legend and being the guy who came second to a legend. This has been a week where the extension of limbs has been particularly important. The Australian swimming trials have been on. Anyone watch the swimming? One, two, three. Okay, I'm not alone. Good, good. Relevant illustration. Hate it when no one's watched it. The swimming trials, you often hear about people getting touched out, don't you? You know, 50 metres, people are swimming, fly, and then he's just touched down. You're like, I thought lane four had it, but lane three had a better touch. And an Olympic dream either comes crashing down. Thorpey, thank you for the memories you make it this time, but it wasn't even close to a touch for Thorpey. Sad news, but good to have him back. And for someone else with a great touch, with that great extension, wow, the dream is realised and someone's going to London, and I can't wait for the Olympics. But there was a more significant touch, a more significant limb extension that finished a race superbly that people remembered this week. On Wednesday, actually, it was the 456th anniversary of a race that was finished by a runner who finished in style. A runner who extended his soul, a runner who extended his spirit, his last breath, and truly his limb to finish his run and finish it well. That runner was no athlete, but he certainly was a faith runner. His name was Thomas Cranmer. If you're sitting here and you see one of these green books, which we never use at this service, Thomas is the guy who kind of lies behind this. And you might think, yeah, big deal. What we do here at this service is a celebration of the work, the pioneering work of guys like him, who fought hard in the face of great adversity so that you could get your reap on. If you're a reaper, then Thomas Cranmer is one of the guys who fought for you that you would have a Bible of your own that you could read. If you love texting in a question during this session, which you can do, and the number will come up later, you can do that because of guys like Thomas Cranmer, who said people like Shane, people like Eric, people like John, anyone who comes to this platform must sit under the authority of the Bible and we are not over it. Thomas Cranmer was a guy who fought that people would understand the truth of Scripture, that we are saved by grace alone, God's unmerited favour and love towards us. That we are saved by Christ alone, his blood and his blood given that atones for our sin is all that is required for a sinner like me, a sinner like you, to be saved from hell for heaven, simply by trusting in that Saviour. That was Thomas's work. To bring that reforming, to bring that truth, to bring that sound doctrine to our very denomination. And so what we have here tonight, what we have here every week, is in part, under God, a celebration of Thomas Cranmer's work. Not everyone was a means of, shall we call it, persuasion. Thomas Cranmer was taken and he was forced to watch while his friends and fellow workers, Ridley and Latimer, were burnt at the stake. You watch that, Thomas. And you think about the way you want to run church. Enormous pressure was put on this man that he would recant, that he would take back these reforms he had brought through to our denomination. And for a short time, Thomas did. privately, Thomas reached out his hand and signed a document that he would recant Christ alone, grace alone, faith alone. But that wasn't enough. Of course, a man who is public must make these things known. And so Thomas was called to be in a prominent pulpit and to preach and announce that, yes, I have recanted these things. And no, you don't have authority. We must come back under Rome, under the Pope. And all these things we are celebrating are no longer ours. How shocked were those who had arrested Thomas when he took to the podium. And then, rather than announce that he was recanting his position, he instead condemned himself for that private recanting. And he knew that his position would see him burn just like his friends did. You know what he said? He said, I will burn my hand first. This disobedient hand that once privately recanted, I will show you that that is not who I am. I will show you that I will run my race. I will show you, I will stretch out like these athletes with my last bit of physicality. I'll burn that hand first for the faith that I now stand firm in. I will run to the end. And as he went to the stake, Cranmer did exactly what he promised. Bound, he stretched out his own hand, his own flesh. You've touched the kettle when it was still a little bit hot. He stretched out his hand that that might be the first part of him that would burn. Disobedient hand, you interfered with my run. Now I will complete my run perfectly. I will finish spectacularly, and spectacularly did he finish. This week we were able to remember a leader who went before us. Thomas Cranmer reached out to the line, finished spectacularly. There is a leader of God's people. There is a runner of God's race. Tonight, in our series run, is our last opportunity to hear from the writer to the Hebrews. And tonight we will be called to remember such leaders, to consider the outcome of their lives, to imitate such faith. We will be called by the writer to the Hebrews to look at such leaders. And as we do our faith run, to run with such runners. If you've got your Bible there or a handout, flick open to Hebrews chapter 13 and let's listen to this call to run with runners.
The reading tonight comes from the book of Hebrews, chapter 13, verses 7 through to 17. It's on page 1194 in the Black Pew Bibles. Remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Do not be carried away by all kinds of strange teachings. It is good for our hearts to be strengthened by grace, not by ceremonial foods, which are of no value to those who eat them. We have an altar from which those who minister at the tabernacle have no right to eat. The high priest carries the blood of animals into the most holy place as a sin offering, but the bodies are burned outside the camp. And so Jesus also suffered outside the city gate to make the people holy through his own blood. Let us, then, go to him outside the camp, bearing the disgrace he bore. For here we do not have an enduring city, but we are looking for the city that is to come. Through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise and the fruit of lips that confess his name. And do not forget to do good and to share with others, for with such sacrifices God is pleased. Obey your leaders and submit to their authority. They keep watch over you as men who must give an account. Obey them so that their work will be a joy, not a burden, for that would be of no advantage to you.
Now, of course, must be that you have a deep commitment to verse 17. Because I'm going to ask you to do something, and I'm going to ask you as your leader tonight to make my work a joy. To understand this passage in what I think is a graphic way, I'm going to need some help tonight. I want someone to volunteer themselves to be our honorary runner, the runner who will represent us all. Is there someone out there who is willing to make my work a joy? That's a little manipulative. Kind of fits though, doesn't it? Who's going to make my work a joy? Thank you. You're Rachel, is it? Great name. My wife's name is Rachel, and that, from now on, let it be known, all Rachels are wonderful women. Rachel, could I get you to come down? I'm going to give you a seat of honour just up here, for you will run, and you, don't worry, it won't be too physical, and you will represent all of us. Rachel, the thing that you know, and that everybody here who has been listening to this series on Run knows, that we've been called by the writer to the Hebrews to throw off the things that ensnare us, the sin that entangles and messes up our run. We've been called to be people who will run even when we can't see, based on God's promise. We've been called to people who run with our eyes firmly set on our pace setter, the Lord Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. The one who gives us great confidence as runners that the finish line is our possession, because that is what he has bought for us by his blood. And so we're called to run. And the amazing thing that we've been celebrating quite graphically is we've got this grandstand, because what we want to be mindful of is that as we run, we know there are many who have run before us. We are surrounded by a cloud of witness. The Davids, the Abrahams, the Jephthahs, all of these heroes of faith who encourage us and call, run, run. And so we run to the finish. But as I read chapter 13, and as I become aware more and more of the situation for these people in Hebrews, it seems that this great cloud of witness who sit in the stands are not the only ones who are watching your run. There are others. Indeed, you might think that you were just going to be running on a nice, neat athletics track like at the Olympic Games. But no, that's not the picture that's painted. We must run. Rachel, we must run with all of those things that the writer to the Hebrews talks about, but we're not running a simple race. We're running a gauntlet. We are running to the finish line that is our birthright by Jesus' blood, but as we run there, we're surrounded by a cloud of witnesses who encourage us. We run a gauntlet that seeks to see us carried away. A gauntlet that will pressure, sometimes persecute, sometimes persuade, or just tempt, or just casually, like a nice flowing river, guide us away from the truth that is finishing the race in Christ Jesus. We want to be people who run and run to the very end, and not get killed by that gauntlet, not get carried away. For the people in this letter, they had a lot to fear. Their gauntlet was a significant one. There was the Roman Empire. For Christians in this time, they were called to submit and to worship the emperor, to be a part of the state religion. And they said, no, Jesus is our Lord. And there was a significant pressure on Christians, because Christians were being killed for their faith. The pressure was increased and continued that there may be safety to backslide from walking with Jesus into Judaism, to fall back into that crowd, to fall back under the law, to fall back under the old covenant, to renounce your faith in Jesus and be one who again came under the Old Testament law and be a part of Judaism. And in this passage, that's exactly what's going on. The writer to the Hebrews says, look, don't be carried off by those things. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The Jesus who the heroes of faith first preached to you, the Jesus who people like Thomas Cranmer brought to our church, the Jesus who brings grace that saves is the same Jesus who brings grace that will finish you in the race. So don't be pulled off into these silly laws. For those who practice the laws don't even have a place of fellowship with God, because they have renounced him when he came in flesh. And so don't be pulled off with them. Because they don't have what you have. In Christ, you have fellowship. In Christ, you have grace. In Christ, you have certainty. And those who would seek to pull you away do not have that. You would say, well, isn't it easy not to get pulled away? No, it's not that easy, because there's the threat of the government, and there's families who are saying, we're Jewish, you should come back in with us. There's a lot of pressure, violent pressure, family pressure, social pressure, to abandon the race, to fall in the gauntlet and be carried away. What the writer to the Hebrews says is, don't be carried away. And if it's shameful for you to follow Jesus, then that's okay, for Jesus' walk itself was one filled with shame. So you run. You run this gauntlet. And as arrows are fired at you, keep running. Keep going to the end that God has planned for you. Now, I suspect amongst us there's no one here who's kind of wrestling with people trying to bring you back under the Mosaic law. I suspect no one here is going, oh, I want to follow Jesus, but I just don't know. My uncle thinks I should buy a bull and maybe just kill it and sprinkle blood out the back of church or something, just to be sure. I had a bacon and an egg McMuffin this morning. I'm really cut up about it because that could, you know, mean I don't go to heaven. I suspect that's not anyone's issue. I suspect no one here is being carried off by Judaizers who want you to come back under the law. But I suspect there is a gauntlet that everyone is running. I suspect as we start here with Rachel and we know God's grace and we think, well, now let me follow Jesus to the end of my days that I might take my seat in the sand. There are things through here that will become problematic. There are pressures through here that will try to take us away. For some of us, as we try to walk by grace, we can be confused as people call us into what I would call licentiousness. Grace and licentiousness are not the same thing. The thing that people often say to Christians is, hang on a minute, doesn't the Bible say don't judge? In a particular context, it does. In many others, it tells us that we need to be people who are informed and who make judgments about what is right for us, about what is following God and what is not following God. Licentiousness pretty much does this. And it just walks. And it's ignorant and it's silly. Grace is amazing. Because what grace does is it acknowledges sin. Grace says, this is not right. Yet according to God's love, according to Christ's work, even though my worth is minus 10, he treats me as a son. Even though the scoreboard says I'm a loser, in his grace he counts me a winner. It's not ignoring a problem. Grace is being saved from the problem. Very different. There's a pressure on Christians in the interests of being loving, being nice, being whatever, to fall into licentiousness rather than to walk by grace. There's a big pressure on Christians to trade love for being nice. Love is an amazing quality of God. It's rooted in his justice. Love builds up. Love tells the truth. Love delights in justice and good things. Nice just makes sure everyone's wearing a smile at the end of the day. Nice smiles pleasantly while someone walks on their merry way on a hell-bound journey for the fear of offending. There's a great danger for us as we walk this gauntlet that we could be carried off in niceness, which serves nobody, rather than walk faithfully in love, which serves everybody and is what God has called us to. I think for us there's a danger that we could confuse salvation and comfort. Christ came that we might have this wonderful seat in the stand, that we might finish our race, that we might go there. His blood was shed so that despite what is thrown at me here, I have a hope of the end time. My salvation is sure. This seat is mine, right next to John the Baptist, Moses, David, and any other hero of faith you want to speak of. There's a danger for Christians that following Jesus is about making me comfortable, healthy, wealthy, and maybe a little bit wise. As we walk the gauntlet, we want to be careful that we're not carried off by these false and fake things that are not the gospel of grace. We want to make sure that as we walk as people of purpose, we are walking according to God's purpose rather than wrapped up in me and my goals to live the best life now. I want to be someone who finishes God's race, who doesn't finish my race that I designed. I want to go with Jesus, the author of my faith, not me, the author of my faith. Do you see the difference? And so there's a danger for us. It's not in a bacon and egg McMuffin or needing to slaughter a bull. It's in when we confuse the truths of God for a lie. Now, those who we live among don't often mean us harm. Those who sit in the gauntlet here, they don't have their weapons set. They have them set for stun most of the time, not for kill. Because when someone tells me, look, why can't you just be nicer rather than loving? They don't want bad things to happen to me. I think they're acting according to their own mind for what they would see as my good. There's a problem. Whilst they don't have their weapons set for kill, Satan does. The one who stands behind this lie, what he delights in is that I would believe it and I would be carried off and I wouldn't finish the race that God had intended for me. That I'd run in some other adventure. And so the weapons are actually set for kill. In the wake of all of this, God does a wonderful thing. We do not run alone. God gives us leaders. And so this passage in verse 7 tells us to consider, to remember deeply the leaders who have gone before, those who spoke the word of Christ, who told us of grace that saved, that we should consider the outcome, that is the completed life of people like Thomas Cranmer, who gave their last breath for the race under Jesus. We should consider those leaders and be inspired. We should consider those leaders who handed down the gospel that we received and are saved by and walk in that way. But God does more. He gives us leaders who are living and amongst us today. The ones who walk beside us now, who run beside us now and help to guard us in grace that we might finish the race God had intended for us. I wonder tonight, is there anyone here who leads a small group? Could I get the small group leaders to stand for me, please? Don't be shy. Because you are people who God has called to run. And you are people who God has called to run and guard those who run with you. The leadership thing is kind of a big deal. And so I want to pray for you. Heavenly Father, I thank you for these small group leaders. I thank you for their love for you. I thank you that they know you. And I pray that you will keep them running. And I pray that those who they pastor might be guarded by them and their wisdom. And I pray, Father, that the angels of heaven might delight as they see these guys and the people they lead finish their race. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, I need a rep from you guys. Ali, will you join me up here? Thanks. Rachel's lonely out there. She's been sitting there the whole time. Are you doing okay, Rachel? She's okay. I'm looking over here. I'm seeing some other people who lead. You guys are musos. You do more than play guitars and sing songs and whatever. You guys actually give us truth in song that stays in our mind for weeks and weeks and weeks, long after these guys forgot whatever I'm raving about tonight. Yep. And so I want to pray for you guys. Cheeky. I want to pray for you guys tonight as well. Heavenly Father, I thank you for these musos. And for all the music people in our church, I thank you that they are able to so artistically and beautifully remind us of your truths, lead us in responding to your truths, and give us ways to remember your truths as we go about our day. Father, we pray that you would guard their hearts, that you would keep their sole purpose about glorifying you and edifying your people. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. And who's going to be my rep from the music, Jimmy? Yeah, that a boy. I wonder who else we might have here. Have we got anybody here on the ministry staff team? Oh, wow, there are some. Wow, that's awesome. Great. Keith, that would be you. Matt, that would be you. I thought those guys resigned, John. I was really worried. I thought, far out. You guys have a significant responsibility. God has called you to be runners and to guard those who would also run, to train leaders and to run with God's people. Let me pray for you. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity and the vocation that you have granted to these people, that they might spend their time training your people, guarding your people, teaching your people, and running with your people. Father, may their lives always be above reproach. May their words always come with sound doctrine. Father, may you bless their ministry, and may they be people who can boldly say, imitate me whilst I imitate Christ. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Keith Baker, come on down. Keith's my supervisor, so this is kind of a little bit of a fun thing. I got the microphone, so I get to like say, come on, Keith. Hey, buddy. Say something, it just got awkward in here. My doing.
Love you,
Shane. Love you. Love you. Is there anybody else here who leads anything? Tech, Layton, I see you. What you do is important. You lead people. Tatus, Joe, see you both. You guys lead people and you guard people. They don't hear the words that come from here unless you guys make it happen. Everyone's a comedian tonight. It's good. We're having fun. Let me pray for you guys. Father, we thank you for those who make things happen, who pull the nuts and bolts together so that your word is heard, so that the things that edify your people are seen, so that the songs that are sung are heard and able to be participated in. Father, we want to thank you for this leadership. We want to pray that these guys continue to walk in godliness, that they are able to continue to serve your people, that your gatherings are wonderful places for people to be refreshed, restored, energized, and guarded in your truth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Layton and Joe are busy. I need someone to represent them. Who will do that for me? David? Thank you. Beautiful. Fantastic. All right. Now what we've got here is a number of leaders. Rachel, are you still ready to run? Excellent. So Rachel's here ready to run. Gauntlet, are you still ready to be a gauntlet? Okay. Load up. This is how it works. 1, 2, 3, 4. Come with me. The gauntlet just got scarier. Here's what we're going to do. There are your weapons. This is what the race looks like. Don't worry, Rachel. God has done something amazing. Whilst you run a gauntlet to the finish line, he's provided leaders. What leaders do is they take up the word of God, they take up the mind of Christ, and they run and protect and they guard the people of God. I'm hoping you guys get where I'm going with this, because Rachel is here on the start line about to run, and you guys are about to do what leaders do. You're going to guard her. And you guys get to be the gauntlet. So let all the sadism that is in your mind come out as I prepare you. You guys will need to be standing. Are you ready, Rachel? Don't run. Just walk. It'll be dangerous. OH&S and all that business. Go. Beautiful. Beautiful. Will you thank all of my volunteers who have made my work a joy? Thank you. Thank you. I hope in this you see what Hebrews chapter 13 is all about. This is about running with runners. This is about not running alone, but seeing that God has given us leaders who help preserve us for the end. In fact, tonight Hebrews gives us some great words in regard to our leaders. We're called to remember and to imitate the grandmas who have gone before. We're called tonight to obey and submit to the leaders who run with us today. Now that can be tricky at times, but let me show you what leaders do. They guard. Sometimes they do it like this. They come up behind and they encourage us. And what Hebrews says is, that's a good thing to obey. That's a good thing to submit to, for it's no profit to you not to obey. So when your leader encourages you, bank it. They're not just flattering you. They are trying to spur you on to run your race. Leaders encourage, and that's how they guard, obey, submit. Leaders draw alongside us. What leaders do, this is a bit lame. I hope you can read this. This says fellowship. Leaders draw alongside us. What a wonderful thing to obey and submit to. Let me tell you, when you're kind of in high school and your D team leader wants to hang out with you, it's like, awesome. Sometimes as life goes on and our responsibilities increase, and maybe your leader wants to spend some time, like, oh, I don't know if I've really got time for that. Let me encourage you, obey and submit. When your leader wants to draw alongside you and run the race with you, make time in your diary. Be with them. They are God's gift to you to run with, to guard you, to get to the end. Leaders do fellowship. Leaders also draw alongside sometimes to correct. Sometimes our leaders will run beside us, and as we're maybe not doing too well in the gauntlet, have some strange thoughts, we start to drift off. You might feel your leader's shoulder just butting against yours as you run, getting you back online. It can be a tough pill to swallow. Who do they think they are? When your leader draws alongside you to correct, obey, submit, view it as a gift from God. I think one of the toughest ones is when your leader comes up in front of you with a warning. It says, hey, you know, the way you're going, it's a scary place to be going. Now, I remember a leader coming before me, warning me one time because I was going to hell. And I praise God that I heard the warning, and I turned to Jesus, and now I'm not going to hell. Sometimes our leaders will come before us and they'll warn us. There might be something that's come out, everybody's reading it, everybody's looking at it, and your leader says, go easy on this one. I know it's the hottest book on the market at the moment. Or I know every parent's doing that. Let's just slow down and think about it. This may not be the best way for our lives. Obey. Submit. Talk. I know it's a little invasive, but they're doing it because they are people who will give an account to God for how they shepherded his flock. When they warn you from the front, obey and submit, because it's of no profit to you to ignore. As the year progresses, I'm pretty sure from this very platform there's going to be some times where the preachers are going to get right up in our faces. There's going to be some issues that we're going to have to do some hard thinking and hard talking about. I want you to remember tonight when that time comes that leaders are a gift from God. They encourage, they draw alongside, and they warn. And I pray at that time you'll remember Hebrews chapter 13 calls us to obey and to submit, to run with runners. Now I'm going to wrap up in just a minute and throw to the screen before we hear from one of my leaders, John. But just before that, I'll check if there are any questions. And I can run away because there are none. Please watch the screen and then we'll hear from John.
Derek Redmond, the best form he's shown since he broke the British record.
He was in great shape, you know, he was had a chance, possibility of maybe getting a medal there.
The Cuban Hernandez has got Redmond to aim at, and so too in lane number three is Steve Lewis, but Redmond's got off very fast indeed, and so too is Ismail of Qatar. Down the back straight, he's the fractional leader. Bada of Nigeria has gone very quickly, and Redmond has broken down. He's on the track, kneeling down, and Derek Redmond, well, his injury problem, the jinx has struck again.
Running down the back straight, I heard a funny clap or a pop, and I honestly, for a split second, thought I'd been shot. And then, obviously, I realised I've pulled a hamstring. And then when the pain sort of died down, I remembered where I was and what I was doing, and I remember thinking, quick, you're in the Olympic semi-finals, you prat, get up and start running. And I got to the 200-metre mark after hobbling 50 metres and looked across and all the guys had finished. And it pretty much hit me that, you know, it ain't going to happen, it's all over.
I would have laid there. You know, to be honest, there's no way I would have got up. Because hamstring, when you got a hamstring, you know you got a hamstring.
He just wants to finish. His dad's trying to run onto the track to stop him. He's going to tell him, Derek, don't.
The old man went to put his arms around me and I was just about to try and push him off because I thought it was someone else. I didn't see him. He sort of jogged from behind. And he said, look, you don't need to do this. You can stop now. You haven't got nothing to prove. And I said, oh, I am. You know, get me back into lane five. I want to finish.
Now in the greatest arena in sport, he's getting the cheer of the games.
I would never have wanted to be in Derek's shoe at that time. You know, it was a sad moment. It was a, you know, a great moment, you know, in the sport, to be honest.
It's a figure, a picture that just stays in your mind forever because you don't want to see any athlete having to go through that. You just knew how destroyed he was and just how much that race meant to him.
Friends, we are the athletes and it's our turn to be on the track. Our time for sitting in the grandstand is still to come, but right now we are on the racetrack. And the writer of the Hebrews says, in the key verses of Hebrews, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race that is marked out for us. Fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorned its shame, and sat down at the right hand of God in heaven. We're in a race. God is after men and women who will run with audacity, who will run with confidence and boldness, who will run close to Jesus. God is not interested in people who, when the headwinds get a little stiff or when the music's not like the way we like it in church, they give up. God is not interested in people who look at their watch on a Sunday night and go, you know what, the finals of something's on television, so I'm going to watch that rather than meet with God. God's not interested in those people. He wants people who will run with perseverance the race that is marked out for them. There will come a time to sit in the stands. It's not hard to imagine that at the end of the race, once you've finished the finish line, which is the end of your days, that you will have a seat in the stand. There's a day coming where I will take my seat in the stand. I have maybe 30, 35 laps left in me. 30, 35 more laps around the sun, and my time is over. And so there'll be a time when I'll take a seat in the stands. And then the thought of that brings a question that kind of makes me think. Will people look for me in the stands when I've done my race? Will my children look for me in the stands for a word of encouragement? Will their children look to me? Their children's children? Will they look to see a word of encouragement from me sitting in the stands? It kind of depends on how I run the race now, really. And so the author says to us, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Fix your eyes on Jesus, who for the joy set before him, and the joy is him gathering you and I, along with all of God's people, from all time and all places around his banquet table, so that we might hear him and the Father sing with delight over us. Who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorned its shame, and then sat down at the Father's right hand. So run. The writer says, Run. 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 Do not give up, but run. And when we cross the line together, there will be much to celebrate.